WildTalkRadio.com.
All right. It's been a long time since I've done this, but here we go. Welcome to Monday Night Raw. Are you ready?
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw post show.
Monday Night Raw, he's here.
Featuring Sir Rockin.
He's here. He's on it.
He's everywhere. And I can hear him now. Let him in.
And Lindsay Ward.
Yeah, well, I'm here to make something perfectly clear. The Queen is dead. And for the first time ever in Monday Night Raw history, I can rightfully say, long live the one, the only goddess of WWE.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Monday Night Raw.
The Raw Post Show, presented by Manscaped.com. Go to Manscaped.com, use code WTRLIFE until the end of the month, save 20% off, and get free shipping on all the products. It includes the Lawnmower 3.0, the Nail Clippers, the Ball Toner, whatever you want. Get that last-minute holiday gift at Manscaped.com. And MBG Films, YouTube.com/MBG1211. I'm Sir Rockin', joined as always by Lindsay Ward.
Christmas is coming. It's just a few days away, guys. Get those last minute gifts.
Just saying.
Actually, huh?
Just saying.
Yeah, just saying. The FedEx and the Amazon and the UPS and the USPS vans have been all up and down my street today. Like, I've seen the Amazon guy at least 30 times. Because he's just running up and down the street with packages for everybody. Because they're trying to get them in, man. They're trying to get them to you, but they're packed.
I have a package that's just lost in the universe.
No It'll joke. Show up in like 3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great. It's great.
It's awesome. Online shopping, guys. It's a beautiful thing. But yeah, so manscaped.com to get those last minute items.
Yeah. The package's been ordered since November 30th. It's just lost. Love it. Anyway, Monday Night Raw opened with the Queen, Charlotte Flair, walking into the Thunderdome as the one half of the WWE Women's Tag Team Champion. She brought out her partner, Asuka. They were celebrating with each other. That brought out the former Tag Team Champions. And they're ready to bring out some season's beatings. And that walked Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose, who did awful comedy.
Yeah.
It was just awful comedy.
Yeah, it was just not good.
And then the four women went face to face. And Charlotte was like, hey, let's have them fight next. Which led to Nia and Shayna taking on Mandy and Dana Brooke, which Nia and Shayna won.
I mean, you would expect them to win. Like, that's the thing. Yeah. No offense to Mandy and Dana, but it's Nia and Shayna. They just lost the tag titles last night and narrowly lost them. We'll get into that when we do the review of TLC tomorrow, which we're pre-recording for Jingle All the Rack. Programming note, in case anybody's curious, we're not live on Thursday at all. But this was okay. I mean, this was a fine way. It made me feel a little sad because the women's tag division, at least on Raw, is maybe a tad wanting. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
Because essentially it is the women's division of Raw and everybody is just paired up in very weird, awkward, slap together tag teams. Like, there's no actual long-term established teams that are...
Did you say slap-together tag teams like Peyton Royce and Lacey Evans?
Can you just bring Billie Kay back to Raw and send Lacey to SmackDown and just put the Iconics back together, please? I mean, I get it. They're trying to do their own thing, and Billie Kay's owning it on SmackDown. But for the love of Christ, if you were just going to put Peyton Royce in a tag team because you couldn't figure out what to do with her, then maybe, just maybe, you should have waited on the breakup. Just a smidge. Anyway, I'm not bitter. I'm not bitter at all that 2020 took that from us.
Charlotte and Asuka beat Peyton and Lacey later in the show.
With Nia and Shayna looking on backstage. So we're going to get a rematch for this probably at Rumble, I would suspect.
Or sooner.
Or sooner. It all depends on how quickly they're going to look to move Charlotte into the main event picture. I did have to laugh because things are now back to normal and Raw because Charlotte was on the show like 4 times tonight.
And there's nothing wrong with it.
There's nothing wrong with it, but you just forget about how much she used to be on Raw, and then you get it back, and you're like, oh yeah, right, this is what this used to be like, because she's just all over the place.
They'll be defending their tag team titles, I believe, against the Riot Squad on SmackDown.
Okay, I'm fine with that.
SmackDown's shaping up a big show, though.
Yeah, it is. Well, I mean, it's essentially Christmas Day, so...
It's Christmas Day. Christmas Day night.
So, people are going to be home. People are going to be celebrating. People are going to need stuff to watch, so they want to make sure they put on a big show. Although, that's being pre-recorded, right?
Tomorrow.
Yeah. Big day for pre-records. but, yeah, it's... So, they want to make sure they put on a big show for SmackDown.
Yeah, because you got 3 title matches. A cage match with Kevin Owens and Roman, the Big E and Sammy, and the women's tag title match. That's 3 title matches on SmackDown.
But I do like that the tag titles are traveling.
Yeah.
That's nice. I've been wishing and hoping for that for a while, just because, as you can tell, based on this show, they stagnate really, really quickly. It's a great way to get your entire division on the show, but when you have the same people fighting over and over again, it just gets old. So this is good that they're traveling. I kind of hope maybe Charlotte and Asuka find their way down to NXT, but we'll have to see.
Candace and Indy versus Asuka and Charlotte?
I mean, I could take worse things in life.
So there was that. Angel Garza was back on the show with his tearaway pants, beat Drew Gulak.
In a very slutty finish.
You know, as he does it.
Well, I mean, the slut is dead. Long live the slut.
We're going to get to that here in a moment. T-Bar beat Ricochet because they're just going to beat down Ricochet until he joins Retribution. So, when he joins Retribution, who are they going to beat down next?
They're just going to collect people, you know? I mean, honestly, I'm really surprised they never just had Ricochet and Mustafa be the ones behind it.
Nah.
Like...
It's too easy.
Or, like, Ricochet, Apollo Crews, and Mustafa are the ones behind it and coordinating it and working together with it. And they're the ones that are going back and forth between NXT, especially because of... Ricochet and Apollo and their time down there, they can go back and forth between the NXT and Mustafa. That's just me, but you know, I'm not a writer, so.
MVP hosted the VIP lounge, the champions edition. They were boasting about it, and Cedric was very cocky in this one. They did their photo, R-Truth photobombed the photo.
We stan R-Truth.
And then he got chased around by all the people. Jeff Hardy and Matt Riddle came out.
Can we stop making the Hardy bros a thing?
Nope. Then Riddle just rambled off at the mouth and told them they could sit back and listen to the Joe Rogan podcast, or their actors, and that's Tim P. Meester just saying, or the Dave Chappelle comedy special. I'm just pointing that out. Things he then, you know, it led to whatever the tag match later in the show where it was MVP and Lashley against the Hardy Bros, which Lashley again had Jeff Hardy tap out.
Very interesting. They're definitely rebuilding the Hurt Business. They're setting them up for something. I don't know what, but I'm okay with it. It's fine. And Riddle and Hardy, they'll 50-50 at it at some point, and they'll get their win back.
Jackson Riker beat up Grand Metalik in a minute.
You do not touch the Elias. You just don't. You do not touch the Elias.
We had Miz TV with AJ Styles as a guest and talked about they failed last night, and Miz was sorry. He then wanted to put him in the Marine, but his photo wasn't on it. And then Omos said something about how Morrison technically cashed in the Money in the Bank contract, and this brought Miz going, wait a minute.
I was going to say, Miz actually does technically have a grievance with the contract being taken away. He could, I think, get it back because the bell never rang for him, did it?
I saw that on Twitter, right? And then went back and went, wait, it didn't actually ring.
Yeah, they never officially rang him into the match, so he never was officially a part of the match, even though they were saying that he was. So technically, he should get the Money in the Bank back.
Technically.
He won't.
He won't, but it's a nice loophole if they want to go back to it. Because I went back and then looked at the WrestleMania one, mm-hmm. they did ring it for Seth.
Yeah, they made sure to ring it for Seth.
Mm-hmm. So they could pull the loophole out. I don't think
at some point. At some point.
McIntyre and Sheamus came out along with Keith Lee, and they gave the Nightmare after TLC, and that led to a 6-man tag team main event. Sheamus and Keith Lee were not getting along backstage beforehand, and McIntyre talked them both into playing nice with each other. It was a good street fight, holiday street fight. You had all the candy canes and gift wrap tables and Christmas trees, and there was one point I think AJ got thrown into the Christmas tree, and Joe's like, look at all the sap.
I had to laugh at that because I'm like, Joe, that's a fake Christmas tree. There is no sap.
Yeah.
But good effort. Good hustle. I'm liking the hustle.
And then the eggs and then the eggnog and the cookies.
That was a mess. I don't understand why WWE likes to destroy cookies. Like, what is your prejudice against cookies to the point that you just have to destroy them every time you get a chance? Plus, I need to compliment whoever did the setup in terms of, like, all the present wrapping and the way that they did the weapons and everything else, because somebody really did a good job coordinating all that. It all worked together. It was red and white. It was kind of candy cane, but there was, like, some silver worked in. It was just really nice. It was very aesthetically pleasing. Mm-hmm. So whoever put that together, A for effort, man. Good job. I'm really sorry they threw wrestlers into your shit.
McIntyre tried to get the win, and then Sheamus like, no, I want it. And then Keith Lee's like, I want it. So Keith Lee got the win for the team, and then him and Sheamus went face-to-face, and then a bro kick later, and then you had Drew McIntyre going, I stood up for you, man.
I think my favorite thing ever is they ran over, and so they just ended with everybody going, Why Sheamus? Why? Because he wanted the pin and Keith Lee took it. It's not a difficult why. Like, he didn't even really turn. He just got pissed off and kicked him in the face.
It's building to something,
but yeah, it's like, they told you exactly why, because Sheamus wanted the pin, he wanted to end the match, and Drew wanted to do it, and they were getting in a fight over it, and Keith Lee stole it out from under him, and so Sheamus kicked him in the face. As a, you know, hey, what WTF guy.
And then we bring up the one thing we've been waiting for all night.
This was so messed up.
Randy Orton, he's been called many a thing. Sick, twisted, deranged, demented. But he proved that he is all those things at TLC when he burned the fiend alive. Orton said a normal man would have regrets about setting another man on fire, but the fiend is no normal man, nor is Randy Orton. Orton said he enjoyed every second as he stood by and watched the fiend burn. He moved to the spot where the fiend burned, and this is where it happened. He said if he can close his eyes, he could see it. He could smell it. He said the stench of the burning flesh has a tendency to linger. He said the voices in his head no longer exist, because all he hears now is the fiend gasping for his last breath. The fiend is gone. The fiend is no more. And I'm the evil son of a bitch that took him out.
Okay, so you just straight up had Randy Orton go out there and admit that he murdered somebody, even though we all saw it last night.
Yeah.
Or most of us. But he recounted in detail how he murdered somebody. And I love how everybody's just, like, so super casual about this. Like, this is completely normal that Randy Orton just goes around setting people on fire all the time.
It's what he does.
Number two, Randy, honey, you fuck Kane. You know better. Unless you get the bastard's mask or what's left of his face. It's not over. It's not done. You know that.
As you say that, the lights go dark slowly. The fiend screech is heard in the arena.
And I'm sitting here going, "If so help me God, if there is a zombie Bray Wyatt behind Randy Orton, I'm out."
There was not. Because in the ring was Alexa Bliss on her swing set. She asked Randy if you were expecting someone else. He built this for me. So he invited Randy to join her on her playground. She assumed Randy was wondering where the fiend was. She said he could be at the tanning salon because he was looking pale, or he could be at the beach. She hoped he didn't get sunburnt. She said the fiend could be at a restaurant eating his favorite food, barbecue. Alexis then said it's almost as if the fiend was absorbed into the ground underneath each layer of the earth. She said he might come back to Alexis' playground. And if he does, it'll be nothing like you have ever seen before.
And I'm sitting here like he's coming up from under the mat, he's coming up from under the mat, he's coming up from under the mat, and then nothing. And Alexa gives Randy this death glare, and you see Randy just get so visibly uncomfortable with the whole thing, because this, ladies and gentlemen, was the moment that Randy Orton realized he done fucked up. You don't know when it's coming. We know where it's coming, because it's going to be a Tropicana Field, probably. But we don't know when Bray Wyatt is going to rise.
Resurrect.
What's interesting is, with Bray specifically, they're giving him a lot of what it feels like Taker's old tricks, because now that Taker's gone, they can kind of distribute those out to people, and he's really one of the only ones that has a legit enough supernatural gimmick to really get away with it. So the Inferno match, you know, the lighting the box on fire trick, you know, all this stuff that they've done before and they've revisited kind of with Randy in terms of callbacks to Randy and Taker. It's going to be really interesting to see how they resurrect the Fiend. And just how messed up. And I'm saying the Fiend because I don't know really what else to say.
It's going to be the Fiend, but it's going to be a new version of the Fiend. Because he's played this version for...
a year.
16, 17 months.
Yeah.
And if there's anything about Bray Wyatt, he knows when to change.
Well, and we're going to talk a little bit about it tomorrow in the TLC recap, because there's some things about the Fiend from last night that need to be noted, because there were changes in him. And we've been seeing a steady change in him since Alexa Bliss sort of came on the scene. And I'm kind of curious, I'm really genuinely curious, I shouldn't say even kind of, I'm very curious to see what Bray is going to do next. And that is exactly what you want a lot of people saying, which I think they are, is what is he going to do next? There's been a lot of speculation coming out of TLC. There's been a lot of people wondering what's going on. They did this was a really, really great follow-up to what they did last night, where you have Randy go out there and do what Randy does best and cut that promo where he's just not sorry. Yeah, I murdered him. What are you going to do about it?
What now?
I lit him on fire twice. Yeah. What are you going to do about it? Super cash, as if it happens every day, and it's not a felony. So, yeah, I think I've seen that, and I would believe it. The person behind the mask is incredibly, not the creator, but the actual person that is the Fiend. Bray, essentially, is an incredibly creative person. I would love to see and like talk to him about his process sometimes, because I imagine it's just insane. But he's one of those that he understands that he has to be constantly changing, constantly tweaking, constantly moving to keep it fresh. And he developed the Funhouse and the Fiend over the 8-9 months that he was off TV. So I would imagine that he's developing the next portion, or he's had it developed for a while, especially since they haven't been on the road. They haven't been traveling. He's really only been doing TV, and he has not been on TV full time.
And with Alexa there, they can push things forward without the need of him even in the Funhouse.
And if you noticed, her eyes were different.
Lighting was different too.
I really liked all the set pieces for Alexa. I liked how they did all of that, where you had the kind of... I liked the rocking horse. It was really neat how they made it and how they put it together. So, whatever this is going to be excessively messed up. I would not expect to see the Fiend again before the Royal Rumble. I have a really funny feeling he's going to let Randy kind of fall in that false sense of security, and they're going to use Alexa as a way to taunt Randy. And Randy's eventually going to call her on her bluff, because it's like, well, you keep saying, you know, all these things and he's not here. And then something's going to happen, whether it's the Fiend talk, you know, cost Randy a match, whether it's the Fiend just shows up and takes Randy out. This is obviously building to another show. I wouldn't say Rumble, but maybe Rumble Chamber. I don't think they're going to Mania with it.
But they're going to go most likely to the Rumble.
But yeah, this was really good. This was really, really, really exciting. It was kind of like, okay, all right, I can go along with this. I can follow up with this. You know, this was, again, like I said, this was a really nice conclusion to the story that's going on right now and opening that next chapter, especially with Alexa, and have her kind of drive it for a while, get past the holidays, and then bring right back after the holidays. Because they can't really do the Fiend stuff with the week of Christmas and then New Year's, and they don't usually do those types of things until right after New Year's. So we probably won't have the Fiend for a while.
Speaking of right after the New Year's, They announced that Raw Legends Night is happening on January 4th.
Okay. I'm going to ask the $64,000 question. And I want chat to answer me. You already answered it. Chat gets to answer me. You can also tweet us at Wild Talk Radio at Lens Ward with your answer if you're listening on the podcast. Since they're flying in a bunch of legends in the middle of a pandemic, you can't see my face. Does The Undertaker, aka Mark Calloway, count as a legend? Will he make his first appearance post-retirement? Or do they hold him off for now? Because, I mean, he was hanging out with, like, Dave Chappelle and people. So, you know. They could, if they needed ratings, they're going to trot old Mark out.
They got Hogan, brother.
You know, he and Sean can hug and kiss and make up and everything.
We'll have to see. But that'll do it for the Raw Post Show. Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Programming. Nope. The Rack won't be live on Thursday, as we've mentioned a couple times on the show, but you'll have Jingle on the Rack available Christmas Eve morning. Tune in for that. It's Rack Radio Show on all platforms. Saturday night, midnight-ish, we see CB Radio, CBRadio.com, GrantandTheGreatDebate.com as we start Season 3 of the Grand and Great Debate. There is no Wrestle Talk Radio, because I don't feel like doing a show. That's what's going on. We'll be back next Monday for the Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. If you have Amazon Prime, you can link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming, and you can subscribe for free by hitting that purple rectangular button below the screen. You can also go to manscaped.com. Use code WTLF, save 20% off for the rest of the month to get free shipping and 20% off anything on their store. That's the ball toner. That's the lawnmower 3.0. The underwear. Whatever you choose. The nail grooming kit. Whatever you want. Manscaped.com. You can also use credit code RocketSock in the Fortnite item shop, or Epic Game Store. Among Us is now in the Epic Game Store, so you can use a code there to get Among Us, because we're a hashtag Epic partner. Matthew.
I was sitting here whining and I was muted. I'm so sad that we didn't get to play Among Us this weekend. Like, I was so looking forward to that. I downloaded it. I had it ready. Like, I've been practicing in the practice mode to get the task and get the controls down, and then it's like, yeah, no, sorry, we're not doing it. So it's like, oh, bummer. But yeah, if you want to follow my stupidity on the social medias, you can follow me at Lens Ward, LNSWRD.
This has been the Raw Post Show, presented by Manscaped.com. Code WTLive. Save 20% off on free shipping and MBG Films, YouTube.com/MBG1211. We'll see you for Jingle Iraq on Thursday, right back here live for the Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. Long day always on Wild Talk Radio Network, right here at WildTalkRadio.com.
WildTalkRadio.com.